in Eugene, KEPW. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music from Pieces of Africa. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamyan. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Portland Saturday Market, 45 years of handmade arts and crafts, freshly prepared international foods, and local music in downtown Portland, featuring live music and Kids Corner events. Portland Saturday Market every Saturday and Sunday in Waterfront Park, now through Christmas Eve. Event schedule, vendor information, and more online at portlandsaturdaymarket.com. Coming up this morning at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Stage and Studio talks to the producing creative director of Milagro Theater about the lineup for their 35th season. At 11:30, Art Focus interviews art critic Jeff Yarn about his new essay, Portland Again. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on donate. And Air Cascade is next, right after this announcement.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Shout Out for the Climate. Our future is a constitutional right. On Monday, October 29th at 11:30 a.m. at Terry Shrunk Plaza in Portland. Shout Out for Climate supports the young plaintiffs in the historic Juliana versus United States court case. The event will feature music, art, relationship, and momentum building for local youth interconnection and action. Again, that's Shout Out for the Climate. Our future is a constitutional right. On Monday, October 29th, 11:30 a.m. at Terry Shrunk Plaza, 431 Southwest Madison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. As we stumble towards Bethlehem, you are listening to KBOO Portland Community Radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. That roar you hear, that's resistance rising. That's the voice of progressives, of people who really refuse to take a lot more of this. There's an interesting article in Harper's Magazine this coming month, and it mentions something that we've been talking about on Air Cascadia for, well, let's just say it, years now, and that is the polarization of the American public. And we're talking consumers who are conditioned to buy products, not citizens who think for themselves, engage in public discourse and debate and take the elections the way seriously. It's not just kabuki theater in which they are the willing or unwilling audience, and it is not a big sale at the big mega store, the big White House, where the product is put out there, and then the public generally stampedes, killing itself in the process, towards the promised land. Weather today, apparently fog around 11-ish, and that tapering off, partly sunny skies, highs around 62. It's chilling a bit these days, isn't it? And chance of rain this evening, probably late-ish, and the lows around 50, not much in the way of wind. Tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly cloudy, highs around 62, and overnight lows is around 49. So it's a good time in these coming midterms elections to vote win, not weird. Don't waste perfectly good weird on bad elections. This is what you get when you're faced with voting for people you wouldn't buy drugs from. So that said, we've got developments in the our Children's Trust lawsuit. The youth plaintiffs filed a response with the Supreme Court, pointing to the government's serious mischaracterization of Juliana versus the United States. Late yesterday, in Eugene, Oregon, the attorneys, that would be Philip Gregory, leading the charge, and he will be joining us a little bit later in the program today, requesting that the court allow their trial to proceed as promised, as planned, on October 29th in Eugene, and pointing to numerous mischaracterizations of this lawsuit by the Trump administration in its recent filing with the court. This is the mischaracterizations of this case are on the part of the Trump administration are absurd. On last Thursday, for the second time in 3 months, they're claiming harm only from, here's what they claimed harm, the government, the defendants are claiming harm only from the costs of litigation. The Department of Justice filed an application for a stay and a petition for a writ of mandamus with the Supreme Court. On Friday, Chief Justice John Roberts issued an administrative, which is to say, of course, a temporary stay of discovery and trial while the court reviews these young people's response. Roberts gave them until the afternoon tomorrow, that's the 24th, to respond to the government's stay application. However, their lawyers, Plaintiff's lawyers worked all weekend to file early yesterday morning in hopes of receiving a decision from the Chief Justice Roberts before the week's end. They say that they are prepared to go to trial as scheduled on Monday, October 29th. And wow, the roof's going to blow off if they don't. In their response, getting older by the minute, I might add, point to the mischaracterizations in the Trump administration's application for the stay with the court. Here's just some highlights. It's not an environmental case, it's a civil rights case, okay? And this is not a case that hinges on a newly recognized unenumerated fundamental right, as the Department of Justice misstates. The length of trial and its costs are not enough to... They think that it's going to cost them too much. They're like, you know, Roberts is getting everybody to take a look in the lint at the bottom of their pockets and under the couch sofa, and they're trying to come up with enough money to pay for the case to go forward, lest there's irreparable harm for purposes of a stay, and that this case is not legitimate. It's not a legitimate basis to stop a trial on the constitutional rights of children, damn it. Contrary to the assertions of the Trump administration, this trial will not intrude on the ability of the executive branch to carry out its functions. That is my favorite. In other words, this is the Trump administration's hand-picked Supreme Court fears for the ability of Trump to carry out his administrative duties. Trump, on his part, is incapable of reading, probably, one page of the lawsuit because he is, in point of fact, functionally illiterate, it would appear, from all the evidence available. There will be no confidential information disclosed in discovery or at the trial. Therefore, the Trump administration, who assumes that there will be confidential information disclosed in the discovery or the trial, puts him in a difficult position and might prohibit him from doing such a fabulous job as we're accustomed to seeing him do. Julia Olson is the executive director and chief legal counsel of our Children's Trust and co-counsel for the plaintiff, says that the Supreme Court has never before stopped a trial for the reasons argued by the defendants. And they have every reason to believe that the brief will assure Chief Justice Roberts that there is no intrusion into the ability of the executive branch to do its job. How would we know if it was, while the Department of Justice defends this case at trial? It is so outside the bounds of reason. It's so... and point, fall over sideways, blown out the side of the plane, hilariously funny. And there's an 11-year-old, one of the plaintiffs is an 11-year-old boy living in Florida who can't go outside because, you know, that red tide thing? Well, it poisons the air, too. You don't have to just avoid swimming in the sea. You need to avoid breathing the air. Levi's having a lot of trouble breathing and is looking forward to the trial in Eugene on the 29th, where he assumes that there's going to be air of a sufficient quality that it will kill him to take long, slow, deep breaths, which very likely will be necessary to maintain one's temper and even keel during this ridiculous shadow play. Other news too from the, regarding what happened at the Energy Transfer Partners. The water protectors shut down the Energy Transfer Partners shareholders meeting days after the security sunk two boats filled with journalists and water protectors. You see what happens? What goes around comes around. And a decades-old news article about Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams burning a state flag, which at the time included the Confederate battle flag. Yes, that's right. Fly it, Stacey. Fly it high. Fly it proud because it's your flag. And if you want to burn it because it's incredibly racist, and in fact, it is a flag of white supremacists, you go right ahead, girl. I will supply the matches. And a white woman confronted a Spanish-speaking family last week at a Virginia restaurant demanded that they show me her passport. The video is superb. Magnificent production values. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. Judy Feistel engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Judy. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm John Schock, host of Progressive Spirit. I'm going to Iraq on a mission of peace. I join up with 20 million others on a pilgrimage to Karbala.
It's the world's largest annual peaceful gathering. It's full of peace. It's full of love, full of generosity, full of kindness. You find people helping each other. You find people